Thank you, everybody, for joining us today for a client presentation call with Mike Martin on the concept Shelf Genie. So with that, Mike, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Tracy, and hello, folks.
Hello.
We are enjoying a beautiful, beautiful fall day up here in Toronto, and we expect so for the week. So we're all in the good spirit up here. I'm going to be talking about Shelf Genie today. This is one of those unique businesses in the Farnet inventory that when you do one or two, you become an expert. And it's because there are so limited opportunities in each market because of one particular factor, and that is the scale of the territories themselves. They're without question, among the largest territories that I have had experience in the world of franchising, and there's an actual reason for that, which we'll be discussing. But in my case, I've had a number of clients that have done the research, have had a client move forward with multi-unit ownership. Gary in our office has also done a multi-license. And here in the Toronto market, with a population base of 4 million plus, the surrounding regions, we have a grand total of about 3 or 4 key markets. So we only have a couple left. So it is one of those opportunities that you've really got to understand well, and down in your markets in the U.S. where you have more competitors to Farnet than we have up here in Canada, the opportunities could come and go quite quickly. First off, this is the client that I actually put into this business was a former vice president in the CPG, the consumer packaged goods industry. So he did come from the senior ranks itself, and I'll just put that out as I begin this presentation today. The home improvement market, this is a market that you've really got to have an affinity for as a Farnetter if you're going to be successful in presenting this business. It's one of the industry categories that arguably is the most successful category that I have had in my career with Farnet and placing clients. I've probably done anywhere from 50 to 60 transactions across a wide spectrum of franchise companies in the home improvement, the home decor market. And my attraction to the business is really geared as well, not just by the attributes of the business, but also I find a lot of clients are looking for businesses that carry the major attributes in the home improvement concepts in our marketplace, such as low investment, home offices in many cases, scale of territory, and opportunity to build revenue without a lot of underlying fixed built-in costs in bricks and mortar. So it is an industry category, generally speaking, that I have found a lot of interest from my client market space itself. But it is a business that if you have a client interested in the attributes, it's almost worthwhile before starting into a discussion, and particularly with Shelf Genie, to kind of get a sense as to whether they are I would say aesthetically oriented. So what I tend to do when I get a PFA in is I look at the interest or hobbies of the clients to see if there's anything in there that's going to show a possible interest in an industry where you definitely have to be comfortable, generally speaking, with aesthetics. If you have somebody that says, you know, I could care less, our house is a dump, I could care less, and no interest. When somebody comes into the house to talk about anything in respect of what we need in the house, I walk out the door and have my spouse take care of that. That's a candidate that's likely going to struggle with anything in the home improvement and likely with Shelf Genie as well. So testing the aesthetic side of it by looking at the questionnaire. I use a supplemental questionnaire up here in Toronto as well, Gary and I do, and it helps to unpack that a little bit further beyond the PFA, which helps us understand their interest in home improvement, home services, home decor, and so on. So that also gives us a good understanding of whether this is an industry sector that could be of interest. So that's kind of an overarching discussion about the home improvement sector, generally speaking. Specifically with respect to Shelf Genie, I had the opportunity to visit with the folks of Shelf Genie down in their head office in Georgia in January of this year. And this is one of those businesses that I would say when I read the PFA before going down, I was looking for disconnects between what they were saying on paper and what I saw in the operation. And quite frankly, the only thing that happened as a result of the visit is a complete validation for what you see in the two-minute drill. And I really encourage reading the two-minute drill and digesting it and understanding it, because this business lives and walks the talk when it comes to the PFA as you get to see the business. First and foremost, it's important to understand that this is at its root a manufacturing company. It's one of the few franchises where they are actually directly involved from the very initial start of the pipeline, the manufacturing sector, all the way through to the final distribution and installation of the product. So that's a major benefit also to bring forward with your discussion with clients. Is this is a company that is in control of every element in the franchise system. They have in their head office, they have their own design group. They design all of the innovative shelf solutions. And by the way, in this discussion today, I'm not going to be discussing the basic model itself. I trust that you've done some review of the two-minute drill and understand that. But there is obviously a significant, unique product orientation to this business. But all of those solutions in terms of creating more efficiencies around how goods can be stored in closets and or, more importantly, in cupboards and shelving situations in kitchens and in washrooms. They do all of that design work, so they're constantly innovating, and they're doing that at their head office. This we saw in person. They have an actual individual on their staff that is responsible for directly interfacing with the manufacturing divisions, and there's two in the U.S., and making sure that the standards and the deliverables are always up to snuff. So they control the quality standards throughout the manufacturing process itself. The business support center. They have a full team of people at their support center, and they talk about this in the two-minute drill, and boy, did they live it out. These people are on the phones, and they're handling all of the customer interface calls between the clients and the franchisees' offices that is actually not requiring the franchise operators or the owner operators to actually be directly coordinating and scheduling activities with sales designers and contract installers and so on and so on. So the support center is not just a nicety, it's an actual integral part of the integration of process and people within the shelf TV system. And it's remarkable to sit beside these folks and see them just pumping away at these calls coming in, using this very integrated technical database to be able to coordinate all the activities for the franchisees in all the varied markets in North America as it relates to client interface, contract installers, design consultants going out for visitations. It's quite a remarkable thing to do, and you really need to elevate that in your discussion. This support center itself, as they go through the research, will start to totally become evident to them that it's a major distinctive and benefit of being part of the system to allow the owners to focus on the things that are going to matter in the business, which is driving the business itself. The other thing that we observe down there as well is the head of the company, Alan Young. He's a remarkably talented individual, very committed. He invested about a year and a half of his life, as he said, as well as a bottle of scotch while he was doing it, working with IT people to develop their own unique dashboard management tool. This is an IT-based system that is going to provide each of your owners the opportunity to be completely on top of all elements of their business, all activities. Where are the design consultants? Who's available? What's going on? Whether the monies had been received, and you break down to the minutiae, all of this is being managed through this tremendous dashboard tool that Alan Young took responsibility for laying out all the specific components of that he wanted built into it. But in addition to this, the other thing that really impressed me with the visit is this is a true learning organization, a learning culture organization. Now, again, this is a loosely held attribute that many companies have. This is a company that lives it out. And by that I mean that within the organization itself, you see it's a very, very tight, cohesive group itself. But between the franchise headquarters and the franchisees, the things that they're doing to continue to bring to the table those things that are going to matter in terms of collective learnings is incredible. And this also plays into this technology platform that I just spoke about. the technology platform actually integrates all the performance metrics of all the franchisees, which is accessible by each franchisee. How does that work out? Well, for example, if you're a franchisee in a particular market and you're struggling with a certain element of your business, you can go on to this dashboard tool and check out the performance level of the franchisees that may be doing an exceptional job in that particular area you're struggling, because you can see their actual metrics. And that will then enable the franchisee to connect with a member of the peer group or a franchisee and have a direct discussion and find out what some of their practices are that is leading to their performance being so strong in that particular area. So one thing that Alan Young did bring to the table in this discussion, and it clearly became evident as we went through the visit, is that this piece of technology was not just designed to be a good dashboard tool to manage the business, but to enhance and encourage a learning culture within the organization between franchisees. And I think we would all agree, when people leave corporate and they go into business ownership, one of their biggest fears is, I'm going to be on my own. And this is a way of them to be have the capability to be connected and learning to that peer group that's out into the marketplace, out in the marketplace itself. The other and final point that I would say with respect to the visit is on the marketing side. This is also something that often comes up with clients: is, well, what are they going to be doing for us? Am I going to have to do all the marketing? Yada yada yada. The marketing team down there has, as part of its responsibility, the role of helping franchisees to buy media, to more effectively buy media, to more cost-effectively buy media, and in the types of media that are aligned with the most effective media sources to drive the business. So they don't just train and recommend the franchisees to do it. They have a team there that is actually going to be connecting with the franchisees and helping to drive those media buys, those marketing buys, and so on, and guiding the marketing plans for the franchisees. So there's a lot of support that comes in at play through the marketing side of things as well. Now, above and beyond that, I'm going to get into a discussion about the different buyer motives and so on. But I just want to talk about some of the sort of the attributes of the business first. I just having discussed now the company itself, some of my perspectives. We often refer to franchises as executive models. This is truly designed to be an executive model. And because the territories are so large, 250,000 households or about 750,000 population, it is physically impossible to run this business until you can adapt to a CEO executive model structure. So it's an essential that your clients are going to be able to step back from the doing side of it and to be able to work on the business. But the CEO role in this business is really CEO of an enterprise, not so much a CEO of infrastructure and CEO of a large staff-led business. But this is a very simple business with a home-based office. But the owner-operator is responsible for building a team of design consultants in the marketplace and a team of contract installers in the marketplace. And these are individuals that are going to be completing the hands-on, the doing side of the business. So any client you're looking at that is interested in this business, but they like home improvement, has also got to be equipped in terms of their capabilities to really operate at that CEO of an enterprise type of level itself. And, of course, that's a very appealing point to many of the folks, as we'll be talking about when we get down into the profiles. It's also a business that really appeals to those people that are strong relationship builders. They love to get out there, not just build relationships with clients, but build relationships in the design community, build relationships among the blue-collar workforce contract installers. They're very good at building sustainable relationships because these people are absolutely key. So look for profiles that speak to strong relationship skills, or look for backgrounds that speak to that. They also have to be very effective at marketing. In other words, you're dealing with a very large market area, a very large territory, and if you're going to capitalize on it, you really have to drive all of the marketing initiatives to build that client flow, because it is somewhat of a niche-oriented product. It's a need-based product, but it's a niche. And therein, you really got to get the messaging out and more effectively, more so than other franchises, because not every house has it, and not every client needs it or wants it. So you've really got to find that target market. And that's where the marketing group down at head office is really key to help to sort of pinpoint the particular media buys that you have to be focused on itself. You also have to really love operational efficiency. I mean, this is one thing that Alan Young has really demonstrated. This dashboard management tool is really designed to create operational efficiency. So look for people that are excited about effectiveness and efficiency. Look at their profiles and see where the efficiencies and effectiveness in what they're doing and is always something that they paid attention to. It's part of their core value system. And if you do, you'll find that this business will really resonate with them because everything on the dashboard side, everything in terms of the steps they have to follow to build their business is such a systematic approach. And managing the effectiveness of those systems and operations can be a very exciting place for many people in this business because that is essentially what this business is about, is very effective management of all aspects of the operation because you're not the doer. You have to be effective in building a great team of people, managing them, executing them all the way through, and including driving the marketing program itself. So it is truly a CEO of an enterprise model itself. It's also going to appeal to those people that want to be in a business that is more need-based than discretionary. And this may seem to be a very discretionary market when you first look at it at first blush because it's both getting more efficiencies and coverage than that. So this is a kind of a choice. But the target markets they're going after, which are the older market, the older folks, the older demographics that have less mobility, they can't get into the coverage, they can't get at things, it's not safe for them to do so, or they may have fallen onto their keister while doing it. You know, this has become almost a need-based at that level. Then you have people that are living in smaller, reduced living spaces, either through downsizing or because of the cost of real estate. Certainly in major urban markets like here in Toronto, people are literally living in condominiums of 300 square feet, and that includes the balcony in some cases because of the cost of real estate. They're looking for efficiencies, and this is actually, in many cases, a necessary service or necessary solution, if you will, to make sure that they can live in these more smaller living spaces. Or in people, the boomers are downsizing, same thing applies. Older people, lack of mobility. So they're really going, or disabled people for that matter. So you'll see that they're targeting markets that are more need-based markets than they are discretionary markets themselves. It's also going to appeal to people that like a variable expense structure. And so that becomes the fear for many people when they go into business is how much of my investment is frozen in the business that if I get it wrong in this choice of the business or I get it wrong in some other aspect of the business, basically my capital, it's in there. This business is again home-based. It's low investment, but the money that's being invested is being invested to drive the marketing and to drive some of the operational things. So there's a lot of variability in the expense structure, which means to say as well, the benefit is going to be there for clients who are looking for a business where there's some predictability, profitability, even in the slower months as well as busy months, because the variability of the expenses is going up and down in accordance with the revenue base of the business itself. So there's less fixed expense, more variable, and therein it's going to be a more comfortable fit for people that want to have some higher level of assurance that whatever the level of revenue is, they're going to have some form of profitability in their business, and most definitely they won't find themselves in a highly unprofitable situation because of high fixed cost structures. And then finally, the other point about the business is the lifestyle. I mean, the home improvement, the home decor market, obviously it's consumer-oriented, and it's going to require people to be flexible with evening hours and weekend hours in accordance with when the clients want to meet with the design consultants and so on. Because the owner-operator is not going to be in the doer role for a very long period. They definitely will to begin with, and they'll be working their tail off to begin with. But in order to capitalize on the business and the market area and the scale of the territory, they've got to quickly move into that work on, not work in the business. That in itself is going to introduce the lifestyle hours that a lot of clients are looking for, albeit it is in the consumer sector. A lot of the home improvement concepts and franchising that we work with is going to continue to require the owner to be the face of the business with the consumer from the beginning to the very end. It's very difficult. This is a model where the client where your client is going to see themselves moving into that work done very quickly if they're going to be effective in building the business, and therein it introduces the additional benefit of better hours for them than perhaps some of the other options they might be looking at. And the final stage of my discussion today is coming into some of the matching points around the buyer motive, if you will. Now, for the achievers, I mean, achievers are definitely going to be excited about the scale of the business. When you tell an achiever that you've got a market region that's going to look like 250,000 households or 750,000, when you tell that owner that the franchise company is very interested in multi-unit owners, the majority of their owners have 2 to 3 territories, you're talking scale and you're talking their language. So you definitely want to elevate the large territories and the culture of the organization toward multi-unit ownership. You also want to be, for the achiever as well, talking about kind of a CEO role in the business, getting them to understand how they're going to build and grow this business by being able to work on, not in, the business itself. You want to talk about equity, the exit strategy with the achiever. And a business that you're working on and not in always lends itself to building long-term equity because the owner is not intricately tied to every aspect on the doing side. They've got an infrastructure in place, and that infrastructure can then pass on to another owner and effectively, and in doing so, the opportunity then is for an owner to be able to sell this business to another owner who will see themselves replaced in the CEO role, not the doing role in the business itself. And finally, on the achiever side, do elevate the dashboard tools. Do talk about the sophistication of the dashboard tools to help them to manage all of the complexities that can take place in such a business so that they're streamlining the effectiveness, streamlining the efficiency of the business itself to continue to grow the business and to produce results. On the emulator side, well, obviously with the emulator, you'll want to talk about the business from the CEO of an enterprise perspective, for sure, and for the obvious reasons. But also, in some cases, I found that emulators, they do like businesses that lean towards a certain aesthetic. So you might want to sort of test it a bit, but emulators, and sometimes they like to buy nice things, they like to have nice things, and they got a good eye for nice things in some cases. It might seem to be kind of a shallow thing to say, but nonetheless, for some people, they're very aesthetically oriented. So, you know, discussing this as a home decor, a home solution, the quality of the products, the attractiveness of these products, the attention to design features, you know, I would play up the aesthetics with the emulators. I'd also say that because of the limited opportunities in the marketplace and the scale, that they will be sort of one of the chosen few if they are selected. In other words, there's not going to be a lot of them in the marketplace. They'll be building a unique business with a unique service or unique offering, I should say. And there won't be hundreds of them in the marketplace, so that'll play to the emulators' need to feel that they are somewhat unique, distinct, and separate from the mainstream, if you will. Another thing, too, I think really important to focus on with the emulators is talk about the business support center and how the support center is going to keep them from having to be focused on the minutiae of managing all of the administrative tasks. You see, the emulator wants to see themselves in that role of leading the business, building the business, and the status that comes with that. And say, this business support center is designed to really take care of a lot of the day-to-day minutiae and scheduling, but at the same time, the dashboard tools is going to give them a clear understanding of what's going on in the business so that they can truly perform that CEO role that they have in the business with a maximum level of effectiveness. So circle it all the way back to the CEO role, being on top of the business, working on the business, and using the resources of the company to know what's going on in the business, technical resources as well as the business support center. So they don't feel that they're getting into a business that's a whole bunch of hands-on minutiae, which is not going to be exciting and will be really hard for them to talk to their circle of influence on if they have to be on that role. They want to be able to talk about, wow, the dashboard tool, the technology, I'm going to work on the business, I'm going to be out there connecting the dots in the design community, I'm going to have people doing these things for me. That's what I think the emulator is going to have to hear and see. That's how I position it with the emulator as well. But the belongers, I mean, obviously we have to play to the relationship side of it. And this is a business that, is only going to work if they're good at building relationships within the design, the consultant, with real estate brokers that want this additional type of business that they can do, going out and meeting with clients and determining their requirements. With the contract installers, so lots of relationships are going to be built. And they're also sustainable relationships, which belongers like. They like to have relationships that become dependable relationships, sustainable relationships. This business only works if the owner-operator is able to effectively build and build long-term sustainable relationships with these service providers. The business support center, I would speak to that. They're going to have a very good, tight relationship with a high level of expertise at the support center that's going to help them to build a lot of predictability and a lot of high-quality deliverables with the clients. The longers love to see themselves in situations where they're viewed as Mr. or Mrs. Dependable. So the business support center is going to be able to elevate the quality of deliverable because it's going to be so much on top of the activities and the coordination of the activities and customer interface activities, that it's going to lend itself to their particular business, the franchisee's business, being perceived in the marketplace and being viewed in the marketplace as a company that delivers on what it promises. And another thing that I would stress with the belongers too is belongers have a tendency, in my view, to prefer businesses that are more need-based than necessary discretionary. And this is actually a need-based business. Clearly it is. And as you'll understand as you go through the two-minute drill, that when you're focusing on the disability market, the aging market, people living in smaller homes, downsizing, there's a need. I would emphasize the need-based characteristics of the products or services that are being offered as well. And also, because of the unique nature of the business, it can lead to a lot of referrals. So I would say I would position it as the relationships you build in the marketplace will lead to new relationships through referrals. So relationships building upon relationships, because people are going to be suitably impressed if they go into a home and they see somebody with it, they'll say, well, where did you get it from? How did they work with you? And this is a neat offering. And so those the unique nature of the product can lead to a lot of referrals, and I would argue even repeat business from clients who may have decided to do a small job and they eventually do more in the home. So relationships, again, can become sustainable, but also relationships can lead to new relationships. So I think with the belonger, focus on the ability through the technology tools, the dashboard tools, the support centers to build a business where they will be viewed as the dependable provider, the provider of a very unique need-based service in the marketplace, and that over time they'll be looking at their business as a team of people that are all leveraging their expertise to provide expertise in working with the client, installing, all under the leadership of themselves as an owner. But so focus on how you see the relationship playing out in the business. With the societal, obviously, when we talk about things such as disabilities, aging market, helping people with mobility problems, and so on, for the societal people, this is going to really resonate with if you bring this forward. So again, the product orientation of the franchise needs to be kind of central focus point. Get them to really buy into what value this is going to bring to the client marketplace, what the problems it solves, and how much value this is going to bring to these clients to be able to live in their homes more safely or with more convenience. I would absolutely focus on that as well. I would also refocus on where they will be building some of their referral channels, such as in the healthcare sector, for example. So it's obviously a lot of these healthcare providers are going to be touching their clients before they do. They might be recommending to the client that, Martha, you're going to need some sort of changes in your home if you're going to be able to stay in your home and not have to move out. Well, this can become a real resonating point for societal people to say, I'm going to be out there talking within the healthcare community and building relationships where we can make a difference in the lives of their people. And I think at the end of the day, if that really would bring probably a wrap to my presentation today. And I would also mention that from my experience, the Brett Chevrier, who handles the clients both here in Canada and the U.S., he's very, very dedicated to what he's doing. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Brett himself owns a multi-unit shelf genie franchise in the Florida market. He is an individual, when you start working with your clients, that is going to bring real-world experience to the table, and you present and bear in a lot of credibility in this discussion with your franchisee. And this is a very unique opportunity to be talking with a franchise development individual that actually, in fact, is running exactly the same business and in the and at the CEO enterprise level that they would like to see their franchisees operating their business too. So he's an example not only of a shelf genie franchisee, but he's an example of how to run it properly to the point where he's able to do the business development work in addition to running the business and bring that forward in your meetings with clients and say that Brett is an individual that you'll be working with and will be guiding you to the research. He's actually has his own practice, and he is a typical example of somebody that is able to create a lifestyle around the business to the point where he's able to assist the headquarters in this franchise development because he has set up a proper structure, and this is the structure that he'll be bringing you through to understand how to run the business at that CEO enterprise level. Are there any questions? Terrific. You can get called if you need any help. I'd be happy to help. Happy to address any of your questions, and y'all have a good day.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We appreciate that.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you very much.